up, fellow travelers? Welcome to Traversing the Stars. I am JD. Please welcome another musical guest. I love having musical guests on the show. Two-thirds of the People Collection. Josh, James, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it.
Good thanks for having us, man.
Thanks for being here, dude. How are you guys doing this evening?
Doing good. Yeah, good. It's been a long week, but it's Friday.
Yeah, dude, I'm excited about it. It has been a long week. So tell me a little bit about the People Collection. How did you guys get started? How did you guys get moving on things?
I'll let you take this one.
Okay, yeah. So I was, I've been writing music and, singing, playing guitar, doing things as a solo act. Mm-hmm. This was happening probably between like 2010 and 2015, 2016. Mm-hmm. Josh and I ended up playing some solo gigs together where he was also doing some solo act and I was doing the same. So we had kind of crossed paths a few times. So he hit me up one time after a gig and was like, "Hey, have you thought about like taking this music and, doing a full band thing with it?" I was hesitant mm-hmm. to go that route, 'cause I know when you do things solo, right, like you only have to like schedule yourself,
yep.
kind of show up when you want to.
Start adding more people, it starts getting more complicated.
Yeah, but he really sold me, man. Look at that face.
He does have a pretty face.
Yeah. So, he said, "Hey, look, I've been trying to get started like playing the bass because mm-hmm. primarily he's a guitar player, and we kind of put this together. Put out a kind of a Facebook post looking for a drummer."
Yeah.
And that's how we found Corey, we've all three of us have been constant members of
nice.
The band since its inception. So
nice. I love it. Now I've known Josh for a long time. And I know back in the day you were all about music. And so it's pretty awesome you've stuck with it.
Yeah. Well, I've kind of been like in and out of the music scene a little bit.
Yeah.
It's hard to find members that really, you gel with.
Yeah.
After doing my own thing for a little while, came mm-hmm. across this guy. I was actually in the process of like putting together like a full like band studio. I was, I was in the market for a drum set. I had like a PA set up, mm-hmm. Guitars, amplifiers. I just bought a bass and a bass amplifier. And I actually came to this guy a couple of times, like you said before, "Hey man, I really just want to see your music live."
Yeah.
And he had this like 5-song EP that he put out. And like, I hadn't heard anything that good come out of like just some local dudes that I knew personally.
Right.
So listening to this EP, I'm like, I really, really want to see this live,
Yeah.
'Cause I mean, this live music for me is just like, it's a special thing for me. But, I didn't really come to him initially as like, "Hey, I want to start a band with you."
Yeah.
I came to him saying like, "Hey, I really want you to find some band members so I can watch your music live."
Yeah.
After we played a few shows together, it was just like, I kept kind of bugging at him like, "When are you going to do this? When are you going to do this?"
Yeah.
And like, eventually he kind of broke and he was like, "Hey man, like if you're willing to help me, like let's put something together." And like I said, I just bought the bass rig and I was kind of teaching myself a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, why don't I just, pick up the bass and we'll look for a drummer and we'll keep it simple as a 3-piece.
Yeah.
And everything kind of just like meshed from there. We met Corey and, none of us really have, too many issues that like a lot of musicians tend to have.
Yeah.
So everything kind of really worked out and, communication between us is great. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So,
a bit of a Cinderella story.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So like you just started started playing the bass. Like, so are you, are you doing like the finger picking or you use a pick or?
Well, I'm a guitarist at heart.
Yeah.
So, I went the pick route, the guitar pick route. I still kind of like want to, go back and teach myself like finger picking style.
Yeah.
But, I'm also like a rock and roll guy at heart.
Yeah.
So it's like my inclination to just, be drawn to that, not only that sound, but like just that style and that energy, it's like
absolutely.
The stance is different. The way that, it's you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, yeah, way back in the day when, you know, I was wanting to do music, you know, I was a bass player too. And like, I never even considered the finger pick style or the fingering style, because it's just like all of my idols like were pick players. And it was just like, it's like you said, the energy and just like, I feel like you can do, it's a different vibe with the pick.
It definitely is. And, you know, it's weird because like our music is not as much rock and roll as it is like,
right,
more like pop and funk and blues, these other elements that kind of like get pulled into it. But like, you know, for us, it just kind of works, you know, and the way that I've sort of taught myself with the pick, I just kind of adapt that style to what we do.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, it's been working, so I'm going to stick with it.
I love it.
I always
it.
Get told not to lose my rhythm section. So.
I remember drummers were the hardest thing to find. Drummers and singers were the hardest thing to find when I was wanting to do stuff.
Still, to this day.
Yeah. I love
it's
it.
It's interesting because so, I was a singer first.
Yeah.
So, you know, like growing up and stuff, like I was like writing lyrics, singing melodies. Like I picked up a guitar relatively yeah. late, you know, like 18 years old, getting into yeah. college. So, the whole idea was like, man, I gotta put like some sort of like harmonic foundation below these melodies.
Yeah.
Just started listening to a lot of, you know, I took what I was listening to and just tabbing it out, you know, kind of teaching myself by yeah. ear and using tabs. And, you know, after a long time of playing, it's all kind of come full circle where now the theory's getting injected. And,
yeah.
You know, there's always something to learn, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You're never done. You're never done like learning. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you find it's like challenging to sing and play guitar? Or?
So what's interesting is like, I've never found that difficult, probably because like because I sang first and a lot of what I was doing was, I don't know, it's just those things are kind of intermingled for me. Like I'm yeah. not, you know what I mean? It's not something where it's like, oh man, sometimes though you will find like a really intricate guitar part where like the subdivision
yeah.
is like so obscure that like a melody on top of that kind of subdivision that you're doing on the guitar can be really tricky. But you know, I'm very much a pop guy at heart. So with pop music, that stuff becomes a little more simplified, where there's certain genres where you will find those really clever
yeah.
opposing intricacies of subdivision. So
yeah.
I know that as a bass player doing backup vocals, mm-hmm. it definitely has its moments because, you know, there are certain parts, you know, as the bassist where you just kind of like, you're doing a lot of rhythm work.
Yeah.
You know, but also at the same time, there's, you know, parts that do these kind of walking lines and it's almost like you're playing lead guitar too.
Yeah.
You know, so doing both of those and trying to sing vocals at the same time, like, you know, I can do like rhythm acoustic guitar and sing, and
yeah.
I do that pretty often, and don't typically have too much of an issue with that. But it's definitely taken some practice, kind of like adjusting to doing that while playing bass. You know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So I've gotten to check out your album Small Talk. So tell me about the writing with that.
Yeah. So that really kind of started with Bare Bones. Mm-hmm. You know, lyrics, melodies were there. A lot of the harmonic structure was there, like the foundation.
Yeah.
But we really took those songs, and all three of us, we got a local storage unit, not air conditioned, and really beat the crap out of these songs. Like,
yeah,
for several hours late in the night, followed by Waffle House.
Oh yeah, lots of Waffle House.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys had. I mean, IHOP is an option. Like.
Waffle House happened to be right across the
street. Oh, okay, right okay.
And like when you're getting done at like 3 o'clock in the morning and you're just like, hey, all right, this is the easy option.
Yeah.
Some stuff down in there while we're there, but it's okay.
Yeah.
yeah, many a late nights at Waffle House, you know, with all kinds of different happenings in there and existential conversations about life and where the band was going. And
good, know, people watching while you're doing that too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We weren't the only band using that. Actually, it's for any bands that are listening to your program. Like, it is really like finding a place to practice is a challenge.
Yeah.
there. We found a storage unit facility that was willing to host us, mm-hmm. but it was like one out of like 20 that I called locally.
Yeah.
So at the time, none of us really kind of had the space anywhere to do that. And, so we really had to find somewhere where we could really crank this stuff out. And yeah. Like I said, we found one, and it was just really, we dissected these songs like again and again. Organic writing as far as bass parts, drum parts.
Yeah, it all kind of came together in-house.
Nice. You know?
Yep. And I had those bare bones there, you know. They told me when to change chords to something else, and I'm like, yeah. No, it wasn't written that way.
It's hard to give up that control.
Come to find out these guys have good ideas.
Yeah, and that's something else too, is you got to be able to trust your bandmates too, because like, yeah, it's, I think it was like what was it, the Queen biopic or whatever, like they had that whole part where Freddie went off and did his own thing, and like it was terrible, and they're like, yeah, I didn't have you telling me that this part sucks, I didn't have you over here telling me to do this. So
I mean, that's real.
Yeah,
you know, I think we all kind of do that for each other, honestly. Like you said, he came in with like, you know, these foundational ideas, like kind of, you know, a verse and a chorus, you know, or even sometimes like a whole song. And like, we would take those and flush them out in practice. And we kind of come up with parts as we went, you know, Corey and I, and then we would get these ideas kind of midway, and we're like, oh, well, that was really neat what you were playing. Why don't we sort of adjust this and like, you know, kind of mix it up a little bit, make it a little bit more interesting than like what one can do with just an acoustic guitar by themselves.
Yeah.
So I think having all three of us be able to essentially kind of like do every part of the writing,
yeah,
you know, really helped us for creating these songs.
I love it. I love it. It's a good album too, man. I mean, it's got a lot of solid tracks on it.
Thanks, man.
Absolutely. I think Laundry is my favorite. I think I mentioned that to you at one point, like a year or two ago, Josh.
Oh yeah, same.
That's why it's track number one, man.
Yeah, we
there you go.
Debated on we debated on whether that should be a single or not for a long time, and we actually ended up not using that as one of our singles, probably against our better judgment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. What was the main single track from the album?
So the first one was
Warms the Soul.
Warms the Soul.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, that actually wasn't even really considered as a single until we were finished with the recording of the album.
Yeah.
When we initially wrote it, it wasn't really any of our favorite songs. Like, we liked it.
Right.
You know, but it wasn't like this one jumps out to us as a single. But when we took it to the studio, and we kind of sort of reimagined it a little bit as we were recording. Like, it was putting out this sort of vibe that just resonated.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it almost gave you this feeling of like, okay, you're driving down the highway, you know, yeah. You're on your way to the, like the beach or something, and you're just cruising, man. You just let the wind go through your hair. You're enjoying the music. You're enjoying the atmosphere. And it's like, this feels like it should be a single, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. So how was the actual recording process? Like, what studio did you guys use for that?
We used Echo Dog Studios out of Richmond. Great guys there, J.K. Royston, Dan Miner. Those two guys, I mean, just like...
Good guys, super smart.
Really smart, really talented, really invested themselves in the songs, you know, to a degree where we were all kind of like, yeah, you know, somebody's vibing it to the level that we are.
They're from a pop punk band called The Bigger Lights.
Mm-hmm.
That got pretty far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were, I mean, they're a pretty impressive band themselves, you know. But I think the two of them, the way that they worked together was really special.
Yeah.
You know, they each kind of had their own like specialties as far as the recording process went.
Yeah.
But they had great ideas, you know. They came in and they kind of, they didn't just record us, you know, they produced us.
Yeah.
So, we didn't just sit back and say, oh, well, we want this to be the way that we want it to be. You know,
they were involved.
We really like this stuff. We think it's good, but we also want, you know, somebody with some experience in this area to sort of tell us, you know, well, is this good enough to keep it the way it is, or can we make it better?
Right.
You know, what can we do? You know, and that was really, really valuable, I think.
And psychologically, there's some growing pains, I guess if you want to call it that, that come with having this idea that you think is really fleshed out and going into a studio and really letting it like evolve.
Oh, I know that we had some moments. We had some moments, I think all of us each at different times, like, you know, we didn't really want to reimagine certain things.
Right.
You know? And it took a little while, and it took a couple of sessions to actually like open up our mind and be like, okay, well, maybe you're right. Maybe the part doesn't need to be this way because just because we've gotten so comfortable with it, you know?
Right.
Because we had been playing those songs before we went into the studio for like a year, maybe more.
Yeah. I mean, we were gigging playing that music.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It was like kind of like ingrained, and that's how it was for us.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
And there's some risk there, right? Because, I mean, it's not like we're going out and playing, like, Madison Square Garden or anything like that. But, like, you're going around and playing. You're developing an audience that is enjoying your music.
Yeah.
And now they've heard it a certain way. Mm-hmm. And now you're coming with a recording that's saying, but no, wait, there's more.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like it's a feeling that, like, I think as an artist, like, you kind of have to just be confident.
Yeah.
In letting it evolve and just putting that final stamp on the creation that you make in the studio.
I think a lot of it has to do with having confidence in who is behind the keyboard, really.
Yeah.
You know, the guys that we had producing and recording for us, I mean, they actually did James's five-song EP, you know? So when we brought them ours, like, I was, like, completely sold on the idea. Like, these are the guys to do it, you know? And they did a great job. Did a great job.
That's awesome.
They're incredible. So would definitely recommend any artists out there.
Nice. You know, nice. So how's the response been from the audience? Like with some of the changes and all that?
I think, you know, overall it's been really, really good. As far as the local fan base that we had started building, they were receptive to the changes. I don't think any of the tracks really changed so much that it was like, whoa, this is a completely different song,
right?
You know, but it was enough to say like, oh, I remember it this way, but now you're doing this. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
You know, I think as far as, you know, the online presence, we've had like a really good response with the singles that we put out. As far as like the other tracks on the album, they haven't really gotten as much of, you know, interaction with those who are listening to the singles, but we put a little bit of promotion into the singles. You know, we put some money into marketing those.
Yeah.
So it definitely paid off as far as like us, you know, seeing the number of people listening to those tracks and getting them on playlists, things like that. So
nice. Nice.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that I can say though, is that, you know, where that first album was kind of like me coming in with a lot of a bare bones and then us evolving that music.
Right.
Now that we're moving into like the People Collection 2.0, a lot of the songs that we're writing are truly starting from scratch with all three of us, which is really like, it changes the writing process, you know? But it's incredible. It's incredible to write with these guys. So,
I think some of the stuff that we've been working on lately, you know, initially we had James kind of just, you know, building a concept, coming in with some lyrics and melodies. And like, we didn't really touch that as much. We kind of like, we pinched and poked a little bit here and there as far as that. And like what we felt like would be some good changes. But like with this stuff, there's been sections that like Corey has written lyrics and melodies. There's been sections that I have written lyrics and melodies. And just the same, like he's come up with, you know, ideas for rhythm and percussion parts.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're all working together as far as like what everything should be doing as a whole, as opposed to like just saying, okay, well, you're doing this, but you're still letting us sort of
mold
it a little, you know, there's a little bit more involvement all the way around.
I feel like that works better for like, you know, the band as a whole. Cause I feel like there's been like, I've heard like 1,000 stories about like, you know, one person writes and then like, you know, other people start to get kind of turned off in the band or they don't feel they're as a part of it as much. I think it definitely makes for a better unit that way.
Yeah. I mean, when you have everybody feeling like they're involved, you know, in the whole process, I think it brings everybody closer together and it brings you closer to the music, you know, it makes you feel like a bigger sense of ownership to what's being put out, you know?
Love it. I love it. That's awesome. So when can we expect some new material?
Oh, so that is a good question. We've actually been working on some newer stuff, and we maybe like a month or two ago finished up a new single just completely. We've got a bunch of stuff in the works, and I think for our next few releases, we're not going to necessarily do an album. We're just kind of release some singles here and there.
Yeah.
But we have one track in particular done, and we actually finalized the artwork for it today.
Nice.
And so we're going to get that squared away, and you could probably expect that release to come out sometime around early February.
Okay, cool. That's awesome, dude. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
we're super excited.
Yeah, so.
Love it. I love it. So random questions that you guys are like, you know, gig heavy here, but what's the most Spinal Tap situation you guys have run into?
That's funny. Spinal Tap situation. So when you say that, you're kind of like referring to like an odd happening.
Yeah, that, like things know, never go completely. Yeah, things never go completely the way they should. So I mean,
yeah. What do you think? You got anything on that?
It's more for me personally.
Yeah,
like there was one time we were playing at this local venue, Manhattan's in Newport News.
Yeah,
and the bar is separated from a, like, there's a bank in this building too, and there is just like a wall of clear glass. I jumped off the stage after a set, nose first, right into this pane of glass with my guitar on me. And all I broke was my capo.
Oh, man.
All I broke was my capo, which is like, that could have been so much uglier. We could have been done for the night.
Oh, man. I fell down on stage. Like, it was ridiculous.
You got to be able to laugh at yourself, you know? Like, it's just one of those things where you're like, you're so hyped up from playing the set, and it was a good set.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, you know, with my guitar still on, and I just, like, hopped so confidently off the stage, and it was just like, boom!
Yeah.
Right into the glass.
We're not talking about one of those situations where, like, you know, the band members are really getting it, and they're partying at the same time.
Yeah.
There was, like, little to no alcohol involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In this moment.
This was just pure grace.
Yeah.
So it would have been even worse if there had been copious amounts of alcohol involved in that one.
It could have been worse. It could have been a lot worse.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that was a good one. Yep. Nice. I think as far as like anything that I can remember, we haven't really had too many situations that have been like, you know, oh my goodness, we don't, you know, how is this going to affect the show?
Yeah.
You know, but we've always kind of,
there's another one.
Oh, you got another
one. There's another one.
All right, I'm going to let him take it.
Yeah, they're all my embarrassing moments. Yeah.
Love it.
So there was one time we went on live television to play a set.
Yeah.
And I didn't change my battery in my guitar.
Oh, yeah.
So what came out was just burr, burr, burr through the whole set, but we still did it.
Yeah, we chugged through that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was on.
That was terrible.
That was
the show must go on.
Hampton Roads show.
It was a Hampton Roads show, which is like, I can't remember what channel that is, unfortunately. But it's just like, you know, you're psyched because it's like, oh man, we got a spot on like, it's not primetime television or anything, but it's, you know, it's live television and it's exposure.
Yeah.
And nothing like getting up there playing a set and then just having it just be a bunch of like
noise,
clunky noise.
And we're not talking like the good noise, like thrash bands or anything like that. Yeah, we're just talking about like just straight up
noise.
It's like this was supposed to be coherent notes.
Well, they were so nice though.
Yeah,
like on the people that worked there in the venue, they were so nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, these are my blenders.
That's a perfect example of what we would call a Spinal Tap moment.
Yeah.
Love it. I love it. I love a good Spinal Tap moment. So.
Yeah. Nothing like the fail of Stonehenge, but still, you know, good in its own right.
There's a Stonehenge monument on in danger of being crushed by a dwarf.
Oh man. that particular scene I think is what makes that movie for me.
I feel like anybody who's ever even like had an inkling towards music can appreciate that movie for sure.
Oh yeah.
Love it. I love it. So what's the future look like? What are you guys, where are you guys like wanting to take this? Are you wanting to like kind of stay like rocking on the local scene, or are you looking to try to get a record contract, or where are we taking it?
Well, I think we're kind of just like letting it happen, you know. Yeah. None of us really have huge expectations of right. this. It's all really for fun, you know. And I think if we were to push it too hard, it would take the enjoyment out of it, really.
Yeah.
You know, we really like the way that we've been kind of operating, and we like doing what we're doing. We would like to do maybe less of the bar scene type thing, you know, where we're doing like cover songs and stuff. We like doing our original music. So when we go out and play, we play for like a couple hours, and the majority of our sets is original music.
Yeah.
You know, but we work in covers because, you know, that's what these venues, they kind of want.
Right.
They want, you know, something to be able to bring the crowd in a little bit, which isn't a bad thing, you know,
because,
you know, you grab the crowd with a couple of covers and then you play a few originals. Mm-hmm. And like, okay, you know. But I think as far as like our future goes, we're just kind of making music and putting it out there and hoping that people enjoy it and, you know, letting it do its thing mostly organically, you know.
That's beautiful, man. I love it.
Thanks.
I mean, it's also like one of those things too, because like at this point, like, I mean, I know Josh, I know you got like you got a whole family. So, I mean, like you can't just like pick up and just go on like a massive tour one day. Like that's complicated as hell.
Yeah. Well, we all kind of have, roots kind of locally, you know, that, you know, we're none of us are spring chickens. So, you know, we, you know, James has a business and a family and as do I, I have a family and I work as a firefighter EMT. And Corey actually runs like a music studio of his own.
Nice.
You know, so we all kind of have our own personal endeavors and everything. And none of us are really looking to like, just go out and like, I think, you know, go on year long tours or anything like that. You know, I think if certain opportunities arose,
there'd
be some concessions that we could make a little bit, but at the same time, none of us really want to be that far from our families for that long.
Yeah.
You know, I think for the most part, we're just, you know, we're just happy making music, and bringing it to people, just for them to listen to and enjoy it on their own time, you know?
It's kind of like the true artist mentality, right? Like,
That's true.
Just really enjoying the making of it and then really appreciating if one person finds value in what they heard, you know, like, it's so cool. Like, I've had people come up to me, like the people that I know, like acquaintances and stuff, and be like, hey, you know, like I took a trip out to, you know, the mountains with my wife for, you know, for the weekend or something last weekend. And we were like bumping your music, man. And it really like set like the mood for the weekend. Like, that's cool stuff to me. Like, to know that, like, you know, even like I've had friends send me messages like, hey, like my kid's in the back of the car right now. Like, and they're singing your song that I've got bumping on the radio. You know, it's just like, that's really cool. Like,
that's got to feel good.
That's what it's all about.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's creating something that people can enjoy.
Yeah.
And if you do, you do. And if you don't, you don't.
Yeah.
You
know? And just have a good time doing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it. I love it. So where can everybody find your music?
Everywhere you can stream music, we're there. So whether it's Apple Music, Spotify,
YouTube,
Tidal.
I mean, literally anywhere you can stream music. Google nice. Music, Fiverr. No, not Fiverr. I'm just kidding. band inside joke.
So, love it.
Yeah. So if they look up the People Collection, the name of the LP that we put out is Small Talk. So that'll be that's the album that was there like 11, 12 tracks on that record, you know, put a lot of blood and sweat into, and we'd love everybody to check it out.
I can attest it's a really good album. So absolutely. Everybody check that out. And thank you guys for being here. This has been phenomenal.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Maybe at my age I'm just out of my waist, but a religion from my wisdom and the feminine traits. But I'm at your type before. You got a face and body full of poster with dramatic eyes. You're running a roller coaster, need some guys for the ride. But that's not what I'm looking for. No, I don't wanna be just another old Ukrainian, another guy for you to rely on. You wanna crowd jump on something on as I walk away from the premise this could work. Truth is, I don't do enough laundry to keep your makeup off my shirt. Chase, no inhibition for decisions that I couldn't erase, but that's not who I am anymore. Oh, 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 oh. Love's a tricky algorithm. I came to do right to replace the long division where I carry the lies. All I want's maturity, not your insecurity. Why do you keep asking me if I'm sure, girl? I don't wanna be just another dish old Ukrainian, another guy for you to rely on. Come on, I crowd jump on some something on his own.
Keep your makeup off my shirt.